Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
I know the last two shows I started out bitching and complaining. I'm not going to do that today.
Good.
Life's been good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I haven't had a big win that I'm hoping for, but I haven't been kicked in the balls for the last week either. So yeah. That's good. I almost got fucked today. I've been trapping.
Oh, yeah.
I had a raccoon in there this morning. Normally, I'd have just shot him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Am I getting older? I'm feeling soft. I was like, you know what? I'm going to let his little ass go. So I get in there, and I'm, you know, I got two sticks. I'm trying to pry it open and trying to hold him down at the same time, trying not to get bit.
Mm-hmm.
I get 1 foot on the trap where I can then put my hand on the other to open it and let him out, and he fucking come at me. I mean, mad as hell. I should have just shot his ass. But I've been, I don't know. I gave it another shot, and I got him loose. So maybe I'm feeling good because my karma slate's clean. I didn't take a life I maybe should have.
Grant, you know that 11 acres that we almost bought that's like a mile away?
Yeah, the one I told you to buy that I partnered with you and you pitched out? Yeah,
I know.
Okay.
Well, so our friends bought it.
Yeah.
And so Grant has permission to go over there and squirrel hunt.
Does he take his Metropolitan?
He rides the Metropolitan scooter with a .22 rifle.
Whoa.
Over there.
First, how is he taking it?
Did
he build a little thing?
No, he puts the barrel on the floor and he just rests it up against his leg and he's just driving down the road with a .22 rifle on the scooter. But
how old is he?
He's 14.
Isn't that illegal as fuck?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Maybe you should look into it.
Yeah, it could be.
The kid's almost been in trouble a few times. Maybe you ought to look into it.
Well,
apparently
the rule is every squirrel he kills, he has to take with him. So he throws the dead squirrels under the seat of the Metro and brings them here.
Oh, my God. Does he just leave them in there? Or is he throwing them in the woods?
No, he throws them over the fence.
Why would they make him take the squirrels?
I think it's just their way of fucking with him a little bit.
What a bunch of dicks.
We went and watched the Chiefs game with Joe and Kirsten this weekend. Went out to a bar and watched the Chiefs game, and he was telling me, he's like, did Grant tell you I'm making him take them all? And I'm like, no, that's fucking hilarious.
You know what he should do? He should get him like an old school crappie stringer. And like he should make him, and then
string him up,
and
on
then
there.
Just throw him over the Metropolitan, and he's driving down the road with like 10 dead fucking squirrels.
That's funny.
Do you think he's got to have a small game license?
You know, let's not let logic get in the way of a good time here.
First off, it's not hurting my good time at all. Two, I think maybe there needs. It's funny you posted. Don't let the noise of other people tell you how to parent your own child. I'm telling you right now, you better parent that fucking kid, dog.
This ain't noise.
No, this ain't noise. He don't have a fucking permit. He's riding around with a .22
on a scooter.
On
the road.
Carrying. I mean, I don't know what the bag limit on squirrels is, but I'm sure he's over.
Yeah. I mean, where are they going to look under the seat? I swear, officer, it was for medical use. Sir, those are squirrels.
I'm telling you,
it's
right
medicinal.
Now, he's already walking a fine line of being in serious trouble. Well, and you're just like, you know what? It's fine.
He did get ISS on Friday again.
I know. I saw.
Pushed one of his buddies was drinking water out of the drinking fountain, and he tried to shove his face down in it. And his buddy's like face hit the nozzle or something.
Oh,
and
split his lip,
like,
or something.
Split his forehead open.
Oh, shit.
And so there was like, the principal's like, nobody's mad. Then they're friends. But because he did put hands on him and drew blood, like, we've got to do one day. And we're like, okay.
Dude. Like, first off, the kid's on the highway to hell. Two, when we were in high school, like, you could punch guys. And no one would even, they'd separate you and be like, you're fine.
Yeah.
Do we need to call your parents? Like, they'd call your parents after, like, two times.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember I got in trouble once, and they were like, who do you want me to call? you want me to call your mom or your dad? And I'm like, call my mom. So they called my dad.
Thought you were smart, didn't
yeah.
you? I didn't get in that much trouble.
Yeah.
This is going to sound bad.
You just got away with it.
My dad was very, when I moved out here, disconnected.
Yeah.
Like, I would skip school, and all I did was pull the blankets over and just sleep in.
Yeah.
And then I'd call the school pretending to be him and then not go to school. Like, I got ISS 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And just signed the form and took it in. Like, yeah. He had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
I can't tell if that, actually, I know for a fact that hindered my growth as a child. Thanks, yeah. Dad.
Or sped it up. You never know.
I'm just saying, you know, it was a lot less strict back then.
Like, it was.
Now it's, you can't do anything except for dress like a fucking psycho and not go to school without any clothes on. Yeah. Somehow that's acceptable.
Yeah. Or, you know, you can't misgender anybody. Don't want to do that.
Dude, I'm not getting political today. I'm in a good mood. I set the fucking raccoon loose.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gender. God. I do love, you brought this up last time, and I kind of was looking it up because I had been kind of out of the loop. The word retard is back.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, it's back.
Yep.
Did you see the line of cars outside of Waltz's house
mm-hmm.
of people going by?
Mm-hmm.
When you said that to me, I was like, oh, what's it, like 2 cars? No, it's like a mile long.
Yeah.
They're just rolling by, calling him retard.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that we're back to a little bit of normalcy. Like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
A couple billion missing out of your state that's been funneled away, and yeah, you're bound to be called that.
Dude, talk about going from a super, I know it's been blue for a while, but when you think of Minnesota, it's a fishing state, it's a hunting state, it's a red state, it's fantastic. Going from that to the most fraud-ridden state.
Yeah.
In the union.
Yep.
That's bad.
That's crazy.
You went by California.
Yeah.
That's a big hill to climb.
Yep. Won't be long before Powerball winners start showing up in Minnesota.
Yeah. No kidding. You see, it's up to $1.25 billion now.
Yeah. I don't follow it.
I don't either, but when it scrolls across the bottom of the news, I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll go get my ticket. Dude, I do it because I really, if I won that money, do you know how many lives I could change?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I've said this on the show before. Yeah. Like, Tradewinds guys would be getting money.
Yeah.
You're not getting any money.
No.
Like, you know, all my real friends would be getting money. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
One for you, none for you. Fuck you.
You're cool. You're cool. You're cool. Fuck you. Yeah. You're cool. I'm out. Ah.
So
you going to parent that kid or no? You going to look into that stuff at least for me?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll look at some.
I don't want to hear about it.
I'll probably get him a guitar-shaped gun case. And then he's just a kid on, he's a hippie kid on a scooter taking his guitar across town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the backpack style ones.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you got in there? 22 and dead squirrels?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
2 rabbits too, buddy. Yeah.
This is a Gibson man. Less squirrel edition. It's one less squirrel on that property.
Oh, my God. That's a bad dad joke. It's funny, though.
So my dad calls me last Wednesday, and he was driving by his storage unit where he keeps his RV, and he went to go check on something in it, and it's not there. Somebody stole his RV from the storage lot.
Who would steal a 1995, I don't know what
98.
Year it is. It's old.
98, 34 foot long.
RV.
Class C RV.
Who would take that? Homeless person, I guess? Looking
so,
for someone to live in?
Well,
that actually would make sense. I wouldn't even know if I'd be mad at him. It's cold out there, dude.
Video results, so where my dad was storing it.
Video results confirmed.
They have it on video.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
So where my dad was storing it was on the far end of this lot. The only camera is like 250 yards away from where this is.
Oh, shit.
So they see people go back there, and they see him drive back out, but you can't actually see him, like, punching the lockout. And they punch the passenger side lockout, and then hot-wired it somehow. But
first off, the skill to hotwire a 1998 RV.
Hey.
I mean, you got to give props where props are due.
Yeah.
You know?
But there were three RVs there. And as the video results would later indicate, somebody bought online, they bought a RV parking spot for a single car. They bought that on Friday night. And when you buy...
And you get the PIN to get in.
Yeah, when you do it online, you get a PIN right away. So they use their PIN, they came in and found their spot, and then immediately start casing the whole lot.
Canvassing the area.
And then they come back Saturday, use their PIN, and case the whole lot. And then they come back Sunday night and steal my dad's RV. And then they came back Monday morning and stole the other two RVs that were next to my dad's.
Dude, do they not have security?
Right.
Like, what the...
Yeah. And so...
I mean, first off, if I'm going to store a boat, an RV, something worth significant value, I'm not doing it somewhere where they don't have security.
Yeah.
What the hell?
They claim they have security, right? They got fences, they got gates, it's key card access.
I mean, like,
and...
a person there.
Yeah, right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but even then, like, you look
he
at
is
it
a
like...
tight ass.
Well, no, even then you look at it like, okay, let's say there was a person there. That gets hard because...
Well, it's a deterrent.
It's a deterrent, yeah. Yeah. But you got to like prove ownership to that you own the item that you're driving off their lot every time and all of that kind
yes.
of... Like, that would be kind of interesting, you know?
Yes. Mr. Jones, this is not you. I know Mr. Jones has this RV.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, continue, sir.
So they put it on the Facebook group Stolen KC, and much like when Danielle's Jeep got stolen, it went on there, and we found out exactly where it was, or where it had been, right? We had all these accounts of where it had been, and people were sending me photos as they saw it around town and stuff.
Well, yeah, it's not like it's a small car that there's 50 of them. It's
right.
One of
right.
a kind.
And so my dad's RV, they put it on Stolen KC, and some guy messages him, and he says, hey, I'm towing this thing right now to my tow lot. I just picked it up. Somebody called it in. It was abandoned. And sure enough, a field, like a wooded area just south of Arrowhead Stadium on 43rd Street.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. That's a shithole area.
About 100 feet off the road, somebody got it stuck in the mud, and
they're like, we got to go.
Yeah, but this is after they gutted everything.
Why would you gut an RV from 1998? You can't resell the shit.
They stole the generator out of it.
I mean, okay, the generator I get. How about that?
They stole the microwave. They stole the oven. They stole the fridge. They did not steal the couch, but they stole all the electronic controls and inverter that were under the couch.
Why?
They stole the cushions off of the... kitchen table. They stole the kitchen table, left the legs, stole the wood platform table.
You know,
off
Jimmy,
the table.
If we get a rehab mobile home, we could just put all this shit in there and make it badass.
Yeah. They stole a mattress, which, I mean,
dude,
the guy my dad got it from died in the back of the RV in his sleep. So,
did
like,
your dad replace the mattress?
I don't know.
Dude, what but, the fuck?
Yeah. And my dad was, I was chatting with him afterwards because he
Your
was showing me.
Your dad is a character, bro.
He was showing me videos of all the stuff and everything. And he was like, surprisingly, no drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, they don't leave that stuff behind.
Yeah, they take that with them.
They need that.
But he was like, I could tell that they haven't even smoked in it. Like, it doesn't smell like cigarette smoke, cigar smoke, weed, doesn't smell like anything.
Yeah, people do meth now.
Yeah.
And steal RVs.
Yeah.
Like, it's a hell of a drug.
And I said, hey, it may have one more body count to its name. You never know.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, oh, gosh. But so my dad files the police report with KCPD, and they, of course, they're not going to do shit about it. The guy whose property it was found on, he already knows KCPD won't do shit about stolen cars, so he didn't even call him. He just called the tow truck company.
Oh, it was just straight up like, hey, come get this fucking thing.
And so they tow it to Kearney, which is like forty miles north.
Why would they tow it to Kearney?
Tow lot. That's where the guy that towed it. It's where his tow lot is. So they tow it to Kearney.
I think they're all in cahoots.
Could be.
That's what I'm thinking.
And so now it's in Kearney. And he's like, well, I can't release it until you show proof of ownership, which my dad was able to do. And then the Kearney police have to release it from the lot. And okay. So then the KCPD and the Kearney PD get in this big finger pointing match of whose crime is it, who has to release it, because the crime technically occurred here, but now the evidence is here, and just all this piss and match bullshit, right?
And you know what's weird? It's not like they're going to investigate. It's just paperwork.
Right.
Like, have Billy Joe Bob fill out the paperwork and move on with your life.
Right.
Like, what the hell?
But here's the alarming thing. My dad's like, so two other RVs were stolen with mine. And KCPD's like, well, you didn't own those, so we can't link those with your report. And so, and it's the same guy that stole all three.
Of course it was.
Apparently, so we learned this later. So my dad and I went, and he had a car dolly behind the RV, and they didn't steal the car dolly.
Okay.
And so my dad's like having to button up his rental lease there and all of that. So we had to go get the car dolly.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a truck anymore that can tow anything. So I had to take my truck over there and help him.
No big deal.
And so we're towing it out, and he goes into the office to like terminate his lease and all this stuff. And he's like, can you guys show me the video? And she says, no, corporate won't let us show you the video. And he's like, well, even though it's my property getting stolen, she goes, yeah, corporate won't let us show anybody.
Can you turn it on and walk out of the room and we'll just not talk about it?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck does it matter?
And I had already asked him. I said, you know, the storage place is going to have to file the police report for the police to link all three of these together.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't think they're going to, because they didn't have a crime. None of their property was stolen. And I said, oh, they had a crime. I guarantee you in your rental lease somewhere, it says that you agree to leave other people's property alone in the unit. And they have a signed lease from somebody that violated the lease. So there's a crime.
Yeah.
Not to mention three autos were stolen within 12 hours off their lot.
True.
Right. A good storage lot owner would want to notify the police of that. But this place is owned or operated by Public Storage.
First off, you've already given me enough evidence to know that this place is a shithole.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a dump.
Yeah.
There's no stand-up ownership going on at that place.
Right.
I had an empty lot. Casey said I could put up a fence, and now I'm trying to scratch cash together.
Yeah.
To rent to people that are tight as fuck.
Nah, this place is pretty big. They got a lot of indoor storage. They got a lot of outdoor storage. It's a big place.
Doesn't mean it's nice.
Yeah. So we walk into the office, and he's terminating everything, and he goes, now, I'm assuming you're going to file a police report. And she goes, no,
they ain't doing shit.
We don't file a police report. And I kind of pipe up, and I'm like, and I pull out my phone, and I'm conveniently filming all this stuff.
Of course you are.
And, but I had like, I had it in my hand, and my arms were folded. So like, you couldn't really tell I was filming it, but,
oh, he's so sly.
She was like, yeah, we didn't have a crime committed, so it's not really our job to file police reports. And as you know, like, we have hold harmless agreements in the lease to where, you know, we can't guarantee the safety and security of your items.
Yeah, they all have that.
Oh, yeah. And I said, wait, you're not filing a police report? And she goes, no, because we didn't have a crime. And I said, oh, yeah? Did you terminate that member's, lease that rented the space that stole them? And she goes, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, why did you terminate it? Well, they violated the lease.
Well, violating a lease is not a crime.
Sure it is. Small claims court crime. Violating a lease is
If you violate a lease and don't actually commit a crime with it, the police aren't going to make a report. Just because you go to small claims court.
I know.
You know what I mean? We're splitting hairs here, but yeah.
But the violation of that lease led to the theft of three autos within 12 hours off your lot.
They don't care.
I said, if you were a responsible storage lot owner that actually cared about its patrons, you would be very eager to file the police report. But since you're being hesitant about it, it says that maybe you don't want it going on record that three autos got stolen within 12 hours from your lot. And she was like, I'm just trying to do what corporate's telling me to do and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, does corporate realize that they're going to have a bigger fucking problem on their hands if they try to keep this hush-hush? Like,
I mean, first off,
Like, you shouldn't have to beg them to file a police report.
Yes, I agree with that. Two, that poor little girl that works there doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know.
She gives no fucks. And you're the type of person, this makes me laugh because this is, Layla and I say stuff like this all the time. Like, when someone says stuff like that to me, and I'm a peon, like, yeah. I have no authority over anything. Like, my response is, well, I guess it's a good thing that I don't give a fuck what you think.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get what you're trying to do, but it's like, this poor girl, no, she don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
This poor girl's going to live in a trailer that she stole from the RV park 3 weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I had told her, too, I said, you know, the fact, like, if that RV were parked on a city street, then, like, the city owns the streets. And so, his insurance company, I was referring to my dad, his insurance company, his police report might be fine. But the fact that that RV was parked on private property, secure gated private property with key card access, and that was done to enhance security and increase the likelihood that it wouldn't get stolen. And then come to find out three autos were stolen in 12 hours. I'm willing to bet his insurance is going to come after your storage lot for being somewhat responsible. And the more that you push to not file a police report says that you might be in on it. And you might be somewhat liable for this.
Again, so, she don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're not going to go after that lot. Insurance is lazy, dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
They ain't going to do shit.
Well, they don't want to pay any money. We're learning that right now on Mason's truck, so.
All insurance is a fraud.
But
we all know that they don't want to pay any money.
They're eager to subrogate against something.
Yeah, but I don't. They're not going to.
But yeah, so parents' auto or RV was stolen Sunday, late Sunday night, early Monday morning.
And public storage sucks, too.
Yeah.
They're a shit company, regardless.
The
problem is they're big enough that they don't have to give a fuck either.
Yeah.
They're huge.
They got it recovered by like Wednesday, Thursday. We did all of our stuff there Friday. It's kind of all buttoned up. So
when's he getting a check?
They've already cut him a check. And they waived his deductible. Never seen an insurance company do that. So he had a max.
He was an insurance agent.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Sometimes you get a little perk from working somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know who they was insured through, but he only insured it for $20,000 max payout and $5,000 of personal property. And the adjuster came out and they valued the RV well over $20,000.
Yeah.
And so they were like, we're going to waive your $500 deductible. Yeah. You're just going to get a check for
you're already getting
20 grand.
Fucked.
Yeah. You're going to get a check for 20 grand plus you have up to $5,000 in personal belongings. And I looked at my dad. And I'm like, it's a bummer that all those classic shotguns were in there when it got stolen.
Yeah, no kidding. kidding. Oh.
But, yeah, interesting stuff, especially as I'm moving to make some legislation changes in Missouri for that stuff. So
I just
adds to it. So the guy who runs the Facebook group Stolen KC reached out to me today wanting to talk about it. So
he's like, hey. We notice you get a lot of shit stolen.
Yeah.
Maybe you should make some better fucking decisions with your life.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with you guys, but come on.
Dude, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't want to start an argument because it's not an argument, but like, don't go downtown.
Yeah.
Don't store your place at a fucking dump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a shame that people have to think about stuff like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's just not the culture we live in now. It's you have to be smarter.
It just stinks to have those boundaries move, right? Like you know, like there's a there's an ultra bad street in Kansas City. And you'd never go there, right?
Yeah, but now it's fucking
It's like 17 streets.
Yeah.
And so it feels it's weird as a person to watch crime expand. And it's like, okay, we always knew we didn't go on that street.
Yeah.
But now I can't go on this street, and I can't go on this street,
it's
I can't go on this street.
Yeah. It's very frustrating. You shouldn't have to. We talk about it all the time. You shouldn't have to live your life that way.
Right.
You know, because it's, why would I change my behaviors because this person's a piece of shit?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just, if you want less headache.
Yeah.
Then you have to do that. Like, you know.
I think I have a big aversion to being okay with that thought process.
I'm not saying you have to be okay with it. I'm saying, if you want your life to be a little easier,
right,
then you just have to do it.
No, I guess like I'm constantly trying to get people through Tradewinds, through this podcast, through our plumbing company, all of that stuff. I'm trying to get people to not be so afraid. Like, in one way or another, the overriding theme is like, what do you have to lose? Go for it. Try it out, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so...
this is kind of like apple to green apple.
They're
kind of similar, but...
One of the comments that comes up all the time is like, stop buying Stellantis products. They're too easy to steal. And it's like, okay, you're right. I could do that. But why should I allow the fact that KCPD and KCMO Mayor are ignoring car thefts? Like, I shouldn't have to be selective about what brand of vehicle I buy because they aren't doing their job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's not why you're... So that's not why you would be selecting to not buy that product. You would be not buying that product to save your own personal time and headache, regardless of the reason.
Yeah.
Or
but ultimately,
the fortitude of it.
The time and headache comes, like, this is a problem that's being built. Like, the people that stole those RVs, they'll never get caught. And even if they do get caught, they'll never spend a day in jail.
I know.
Right? It's like stolen autos are the lowest on the priority list. That's why. In 2021, KCMO had 4,000 autos stolen. Currently this year, they're on pace for 12,000.
Oh, yeah.
Triple.
Yeah.
In 4 years. It's insane.
Yeah.
So,
and what's funny is the criminals, most of the cars that are being stolen are...
Kias and Mopars.
By people that are in the same areas as them.
Yes.
And are of their same... I don't know what the right word is. They are the same class. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's low-income people stealing from low-income people.
Yeah. Like,
dude, you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, you're hurting people that you know and care about that are one block over. Why?
Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
Right.
Well, we're just so downtrodden. Well, you're downtrodden. Well, that person's now more downtrodden because you stole their shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to gain from it.
You're not Robin Hood.
You're not
stealing from the rich and giving to the poor.
Yeah. It's right? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And it, to your point, though, it just, you know, couldn't go on this street. Now you can't go on these five streets. It just compounds and compounds and compounds and compounds.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time. I'm thinking about when Layla's got, after this year, I'll have five more years before she's out of high school. We're getting the fuck out of Jackson County.
Yeah.
I don't care. I will be moving.
Yeah.
I don't know where yet. But I will be moving.
You'd be that guy that's got a house in the middle of 400 acres of woods.
First off, I would love that.
In a four-mile-long driveway.
I like to think that I could live alone like that for a long time. I don't know if I could. You know?
I could.
For months at a time, yes. Okay, first off, no, you fucking couldn't.
Totally could.
If I took your phone away for 3 days, you'd have an aneurysm and die.
Well, I'd need internet access. But I could totally live by myself.
I think I could. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah.
Give me Starlink, I'm good.
Dude, oh, did you see the Starlink last night?
Yes.
Your mother-in-law posted it. Layla and I saw it on the way to her soccer game. She had a fucking 8 o'clock soccer game last night.
Oh, I had to block my mother-in-law from
Facebook, sorry.
So I didn't
mean
see
to
that.
Bring up, but anyways, yeah, we saw them. It was like right at 6:30.
Yeah.
We were driving out there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, fresh launches where they're all bunched together. It's
kinda
neat.
It was pretty cool, but I guess to wrap that point up is taxes are high in Jackson County. Theft is high in Jackson County.
Yep.
I mean, just violence. It's bad.
Yep.
And we live almost as far away from the city as you can live and still be in the county.
Yeah.
Like, it's another...
2 miles, 3 miles.
I think it's five down 50 highway. Like, yeah. If I jump down on 50 from where I'm at, I think it's five more miles and it's right there.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking dumpster fire, man. And you know what sucks is I love being from Kansas City.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the country. People are proud to be from here. You know, it
can fly anywhere in 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Food's good. Sports teams have always been good. It's, you know, it's a shame that I'm going to have to fucking leave because it's turned into a shit show.
Yeah.
I can hear all of our members in Chicago right now. You keep telling us to leave right fucking now, Dave. Just leave.
Well,
I feel bad for them too. God, it's bad.
They got it worse than we do for
God,
sure.
God, it's horrible.
They
can't even work without having to jump through 87 fucking fences.
Yeah. We,
it's bad.
So we got a question
Oh, yeah. You said we got a question. You posted about...
I posted a little thing saying if you could ask Dave and I anything, what would it be?
What was the question? Are you prepared and have it pulled up?
Hold, please. All right. So the question is, when leaving a family business, what's the proper way to handle being accused of stealing customers when my previous business cards had the company phone number and my cell phone number on it? I'm curious how others would handle it.
Okay. So we're assuming it's like father and son, family business, right?
Yeah, father and son or something like that. But it really doesn't even have to be family. Like this could be kind of anything.
Well, no, I bring up family because of what I'm going to say.
Okay.
First off, if I was a father and my son went out on his own, I would be proud of him. And I wouldn't even care if he took customers.
Right.
Like he's trying to go out on his own and mm-hmm. spread his wings. So first off, their parents or whoever it is are pieces of shit.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Second off, even if it's not family, you and I talk about this all the time. You should be proud that your employees are going out. Now, does it suck yeah. that they're stealing employees or customers from you? If your business was so great that customers wouldn't leave, that's kind of a reflection of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To play maybe a different side of just someone stealing customers.
Right.
Like if your business was so badass, no one would leave you.
Well, and there's a difference, you know, it's a free market out there.
Yeah.
There's a difference between customers migrating away from your business and somebody stealing your customers, right? Stealing would be
okay.
Stealing would be like my parents' RV. You're casing the customer files. You're picking the customers out that you think are attractive or that are profitable, and you're going after certain customers, right? That's stealing.
Yeah, if he had stolen the customer database and was calling them all.
Right.
But through, I mean, we don't have a lot of details, but if they're just calling him because they have his card and his cell phone numbers on there.
Shame on the prior business for putting his personal cell number on the business card.
That's not stealing
right.
customers. They are openly calling you.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say him, you, them, they, whatever. Just, they're calling you, man.
We assign a cell phone. We get a cell phone for all of our service techs, and we put their business, their work cell phone number on the business cards. And we do that on purpose because the guys don't want customers calling them on their personal phones. And they can leave their business phone, like in the truck, over the weekend, and they don't have to worry about it ringing or anything else. Like, they can truly clock out.
Yeah, if they right? wanted to be on call 24/7, 365, they'd have their own business.
Right.
Like, it's not their responsibility to, you know, be answering your phone
right.
24/7.
Real quick, speaking of customer databases, a quick word from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. Field Pulse has advanced features for your CRM, for estimates and invoices, for scheduling and dispatching, for good, better, best proposals, for maintenance plans, and your price book. Plus, it'll incorporate the Tradewinds price book as well. Field Pulse integrates with software you're currently using every day, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without ever changing how you do your work. By simplifying the day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time and keeps your team organized and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FieldPulse.com. And they will get you all taken care of.
I knew today when we were both like, man, I'm tired. Like, there's just going to be some weird
random
stuff.
Shit.
That yep. was a random read, but that's okay.
You want to go more random? We're going to get back to this question in a second, but I got a surprise for you. You want to go more random?
Okay.
Hold, please.
What? You're really freaking me out today, dude. I'm not sure what exactly is happening.
Got you a Christmas present.
It's not Christmas.
It's Christmas in like a week and a half.
Did you make this?
I made it.
Is this what we talked about last week?
Careful.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm going to hold that up to the camera. Dude, that's cool as shit. Did you just use map gas?
Yeah.
How many did you burn a hole through?
High failure rate. So this is a, for those that are listening, this is a clear rocks glass that I heated up with a torch, got the glass molten.
Is that a 300?
And then pushed a 308 round into it.
That's what I was saying. I thought that was a 300.
And I even filed in rifling on
the... That's cool, dude.
On the 308.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, you know what? I got my own rocks glass for the house now.
There you go.
I keep wanting to pull on it. You're telling me no? That's pretty slick.
I got you another one, too, only this one's cooler.
Oh, that is now, cool.
This one is Ultra Fragile. That's the only one that I managed to make not blow up. So
that one's a broadhead.
This one's a broadhead. And I had to use a practice broadhead because I didn't want you to, like, cut the fuck out of your fingers with a real broadhead.
Now, we talked about this.
Now, it's not a field point. Like, it's a legit broadhead. It's just a practice broadhead.
Oh, so the fins aren't razor sharp.
Yeah.
How many cups did you blow up?
We're
trying to teach people here.
Yeah, I made a total of 4 successfully.
You made 4 successful ones.
I went through 20 cups. Here's the worst part.
Oh, my God. Dude, that is cool as shit, though. I will tell you that.
Here's the worst part.
Whoa. Is this cup clean? Yeah,
they're clean.
It's bourbon. It doesn't matter if it is or not.
Here's the worst part. I had 8 made. But when you make them with the broadheads, something about the broadheads, they shatter in the middle of the night. And scare the fuck out of you, by the way.
Okay. Stop. What do you mean they shatter in the middle of the night?
Well, heating the glass up.
You mean so as it's cooling, it's condensing?
It's either as it's cooling or as the glue is solidifying and drying, or it's just the method puts a lot of tension on the glass.
When you say shattered, do they like explode?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And there's glass all over the house?
Oh, yeah.
Your wife hates your guts.
Yeah.
Where were they?
Couple of them were in the kitchen. Couple of them were in the dining, like the eating area.
Okay, at the table.
Yeah. So
were you vacuuming glass out of the living room?
Oh, yeah.
oh, my God.
I'll show you so after
these,
we're done.
So these ones didn't break. The bullet ones didn't shatter. These ones shattered.
I did break a couple of bullet ones because I pushed. I don't think I had the glass quite hot enough, or I had it too hot, and I pushed the bullet clean through the glass.
Oh. Did you heat... Do you have to heat it up real slow?
Yeah, you got to kind of heat the whole thing and then target it on the one area. And then you have to, like, heat cool. Like, you can't just...
There's a process.
Yeah, you can't just push the bullet in there and then be done. Like, you have to still kind of slowly let it cool down.
So it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Okay, noted.
Yeah.
I asked because I thought, oh, maybe I'll try to do that. No,
I mean,
I'm out.
Those things are $1 to $2 a piece. Right, so
for
I had like $40 in glasses.
Oh, you bought just cases of glasses.
I just went to Walmart and just grabbed a bunch of different kinds. But I tried making one out of a shot glass. That did not work. That was the most glorious explosion ever. See that?
Oh shit! Oh, it blew up while you were doing it.
It blew up while I was doing it.
Were you wearing safety goggles?
I was.
Okay,
but
that's good.
That was a big old sliver of glass that went in my arm, and it was it was hot, and it burned me inside my arm.
I love you.
So
you're the craziest motherfucker I ever met.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
So
that is cool as shit.
You might be careful with this one. This one was the most durable. I don't think this one's going to break, but
I will.
Yeah.
As much as I want to drink out of these all the time, these will go on my super cool shit shelves at home. Like, I have a...
That one you could probably drink out of
all
you want.
Maybe I will.
So.
Maybe I'll just special occasion them.
Yeah.
You can't see it. No, you can't see it on our Zoom calls and stuff, but on my other wall, I have, like, this old antique bookshelf, like, lawyer's bookshelf with the glass that rolls up.
Yeah.
And I have all my cool favorite shit in there.
Yeah.
These will be going in there.
Yep.
That's
pretty cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That's cool as shit.
You'll get a kick out of this. One of them.
Yeah, just show me the rest of them after. Or have you already given them away?
No, I've got 2 more that I'm going to give away as Christmas gifts. So I'm going to give my dad and her dad one. So.
Dude, that's cool. Now I'm afraid I'm going to break it.
One of them blew up right at the point where I was getting ready to push the bullet in there. So it's liquid glass. It's molten glass.
Oh, my God.
Fucking burned a hole in my countertop.
Holy shit. I saw that and I didn't. I was like, wonder what the fuck's going on there.
Yep.
Had you tried to patch it a little bit?
I just shaved it down. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? It's kind of like when you drip solder on your arm.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You can't wipe it off because then you just spread it.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to sit there.
Shake it and hope it comes off.
Yeah. So I just sat there and I'm like, oh, no. You know,
dude.
Danielle's just laughing. So thankfully, with the kind of countertops we have, it blends in a little bit.
Yeah, they're dark Formica.
Yeah.
They're fine. Don't take this the wrong way. Why the fuck didn't you do it in the garage, dude?
Well, it was cold. And because of all the temperature variations and everything else,
I was going to fuck it up.
I was trying to get them. Yeah. So.
You know, do you not have heat in your garage a little bit?
Yeah, not enough.
I don't either.
Enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have heat in there, but it's not 72 degrees.
Oh, and it was also 8.
It was 8.
The other day.
Yeah. This was.
Is that when you were doing it? Yeah. You were trapped inside. It was cold. And you were like, you know what I'm going to do today?
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
That is cool as shit, though.
I broke
Did you pull
a lot
that
of
out
glasses.
Of one of your 308 bullets?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. And then I dumped all the gunpowder out of them. And so then Grant takes the baggie of gunpowder in the backyard and lights it on fire, you know?
Didn't we just talk about Grant and parenting? He's back there just setting shit on fire?
Yeah.
Cops didn't come?
No.
I'm sure I would have heard about it if they did. That's cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff.
Did you epoxy him in there then, too?
Super glue.
Oh, a little super glue?
Yep.
Feels solid.
Yeah, that one's probably good. This one is the one you don't want to be leveraging on too much. Because these are the ones that break in the middle of the night. Those don't break.
I wonder if it's just the glass.
No, I think it's the way the glass cools around the... It's got 4 sharp points on there.
Oh.
And then it's got contact points here, here, and here.
Yeah.
And I think it just, as it's cooling and shrinking, I think it just puts too much tension on it and pops them.
That is cool, though.
It's pretty neat.
That is cool.
That's a real fight. Like, I pulled that out of one of my... Like, you can see a scuff on it.
Yeah.
That's a real fired broadhead, not a fakie.
That's pretty dope, dude.
It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty fucking dope.
If you guys want an imagery of what we're talking about here, if you look up Ben Schott, Benshot, they are glasses that have been shot, and they melt them and push. You can put golf balls in there, fishing lures, and a lot of cool shit.
I got a lot of shit I'm supposed to be taking home.
Yeah,
I got a lot of shit I've got to get out of here. We're just collecting crap.
But back to our question.
Dude, that is so cool. Thanks,
man. Yeah. Back to our question. When you're leaving a business, there is a little bit of a code of ethics there that you want to follow. And I'm not saying our guy that raised the question didn't follow the code of ethics, but I'm just stating what that would be. And I've worked at places before. I've never worked at a place that made me sign a non-compete. I would never, ever sign. Never sign a non-compete. Essentially, a non-compete would mean that if you leave that organization, you can't do that skill, trade, craft, position for any other organization within a certain mile radius. And the higher the profile of the job, the bigger the radius. And so, in the corporate world, it would be like you can't hold this position in America.
Yeah.
For 2 years, right? And so. I would never sign a non-compete because I would never let a bad relationship between me and an employer affect my ability to get a job somewhere else in my area, right?
Yeah.
But I would...
That's just stupidity.
And I have signed many non-solicits. And what that means is that when you leave a place, you are agreeing by contract that you will not pursue their customers or their employees or their vendors in any way.
Those were probably 1 years?
Usually it's a 2 year.
Was yours 2 years?
Yeah. However, pursuing their customers, their employees, and their vendors in a way that would negatively hurt their business is a pretty vague thing. And I'm not saying like you can ignore it, but what I'm saying is that doesn't mean you can't do work for their customers. It means you can't pursue their customers. If their customers pursue you, then that's fine, right? If their employees call you up and say, hey, I hear you're hiring, they initiated the contact. I didn't pursue them. They pursued me, right?
Well, to your point from before, that's not soliciting.
Correct.
You know, soliciting is trying to pry them away.
Yes.
You know, trying to get work from them. They call you, And to the guy's point that sent in the question, his cell phone's on the cards that he was probably asked to give out.
Yeah, and paid for.
Like, yeah.
That's totally a fault of the other business. And so if you guys right now are running with your employees using their own personal cell phones and the customer's having a way to get that number, you're opening yourself up to that risk. If that's something that you're worried about, right? Oh.
Thank you.
I'm bouncing my leg.
I'm afraid you're shaking the camera.
Yeah. So that's something that you know, you would have to worry about. Me, in the way that I built our plumbing company, we allow side work under certain guide frames. We provide them a work cell phone so that they can turn it off over the weekends. Our guys enjoy, we don't work nights and weekends. Our guys enjoy their weekends. And so it's not a thing where they want to go do side work. So like if we forbid side work would run rampant in our company, right? In other words, things that are illegal or that are forbidden are desirable. As soon as you say, guys, you can't do side work.
I agree 100%.
Guess what? They're going to go do side work, right?
I agree 100%.
It's like adds the, it intensifies the curiosity.
Well, and it kind of speaks to the culture of said business too, because usually businesses that are cheap, shitty places to work are the ones that say no side work.
Right.
You know what I mean? That just kind of goes into the overall feeling of that business. And those aren't places you usually want to work anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, side work is different than stealing customers from the company, right?
Well, of course.
And that's a hard no, right? You can't go to Mrs. Jones' house and she balks on the price and then she says, hey, will you do it for cheaper for cash on the side later? Like the guys, that's absolutely a no-no.
Yeah.
But if their family, relative, anything like that says, hey, can you come replace my water heater? Yeah, go replace your relative's water heater.
Yeah.
Like, be thankful that you have the skills and the trade to do it. Take my truck and go do it. Use the parts off the truck. Just keep a list. And then whenever you go restock those parts, put it like use our account to get the discount, but just pay cash.
Yeah.
And we see it. We see the tickets.
That's to the shitty, like a shitty business wouldn't let you do that.
Right.
Oh, no, you can't go do that.
Right.
Red flag. Don't work there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We try to keep it open. In other words, we train our guys well enough to leave, but we treat them well enough to stay.
Right? Yeah.
And it got asked a little while ago about like, aren't you worried about your guys like leaving and starting their own company? And I'm like, I run a podcast about starting your own company.
Yeah.
Like they listen to the pod. Like I give them all the tools they need to start their own company.
Yeah.
Some people just don't want to, and that's perfectly fine. Right? Some people don't want that risk and don't want that headache, and they want a little bit more predictability out of their schedule. They want me to take the risk for them on getting call volume and all of that stuff and getting leads. And that's fine. But I've also had guys leave me and start their own companies, and I helped them do it.
Yeah.
They were transparent with it. One guy gave me like a 6-month heads up, and I'm like, sweet, anything you need along the way, if we need to go grab lunch or whatever, I said, you're buying.
Yeah. No, but, yeah.
But if we want to go grab lunch and you got questions, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to this guy that asked the question, that's a thing that you can kind of feel out. But ultimately, if the culture is going to not appreciate people leaving the company to better themselves, then if it's not stealing customers, you're going to get accused of something else. You're going to get accused of your parts inventory being short on your truck, or you're going to get accused of a missing tool or whatever. And I have, there was a place I worked for 10 years where the owner was very receptive to feedback from his team. And to this day, I still have a great level of respect for the owner. And I was about year 8 there, and one of our guys left. And he immediately started bagging on the guy. And the guy had been with us for like 6 years or something like that. 6 years, we've taken care of that guy for 6 years, and he does this to us.
No, 6 years, that motherfucker's been making you money hand over fist, bro.
And I said, I'm not going to say his name, but I first named him, and I'm like, you need to think about what you're saying there for a second. 3 weeks ago, you were just bragging to me about how awesome that guy is.
Yeah, and how much fucking money he's made you.
He was awesome for you for 6 years. All good things come to an end. Don't make this good thing come, like, keep it a good thing by celebrating that he's found a way to better himself.
Yeah.
And if anything, and if you don't like good guys leaving your company, then you need to get your company big enough to where the good guys have room to achieve their dreams inside your company. Maybe that guy didn't want to run his own company, but he wanted a manager's position. He wanted more authority. He wanted more
time off.
Maybe just more responsibility.
A little bit more money.
Right.
You know?
And I'm not saying you got to go hand a guy a raise for no reason, but like...
No, but you have to offer him the opportunity to earn more money, or to earn more time off, or earn a bigger position where he can help guys under him make more money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You could have satisfied his entrepreneurial curiosity by adding a department in the company that he gets to manage, or working with him through a lot of that stuff so that he could run with it. So
it's just cool.
You're liking that cup, aren't you?
I'm loving this fucking cup right now.
So
I just want to say just a couple more things about that. And I know I said it at the beginning too. If it is a family situation, that's a problem. Like, they should be wanting nothing but the best for him.
Yeah.
But to what I said before, before we read the question, you don't have to give a shit what they think about you stealing customers. Yes, it may hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It may feel like you're getting kicked in the nuts. It may feel like they're trying to drag you down. You can either use that and it drags you down. I'm sorry, you can either let that drag you down, or you can use it to light a fire under your ass and say, I'm doing whatever the hell I want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, do something positive with the negativity. We've talked about it a lot on the show. No matter what, when you go out on your own, and you've said this specifically, your dad was like, oh, I don't know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
People are always going to be trying to pull you down, drag you down. Shut the noise out,
because
it's all just extra bullshit. If this guy wants to really start his own business and customers are calling him, take those customers, grow your business, and shut the noise out.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, if you don't get used to shutting the noise out and overcoming the negativity, you aren't going to make it anyway, and it's not going to fucking matter.
Right.
But just use it as fuel. I'm a big proponent of this because I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Use everyone else's negativity and everyone else's bullshit as my fuel to be better than them.
Yep.
I mean, is it maybe a character flaw for me to be so competitive? Maybe. I don't know, but I don't give a fuck, you know?
So there was an
I know that was a little rambly, but
I
apologize.
Interesting metaphor, ironically, just from sports this weekend with Mahomes blowing his knee out. So all in the time span of about...
The run is over, baby.
10 minutes in real time.
Okay.
Mahomes blows his knee out. And the Chiefs missed the playoffs for the first time in 10 years.
Man, Micah Parsons blew his out too.
Yeah.
Same day.
So,
same hour.
But there's a security camera footage video of two trainers. Mahomes has his arms over two trainers' shoulders, and they're walking down the hall to the locker room.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the photo.
And they're walking by all of the banners that are all of Mahomes' accomplishments. Over the last nine seasons.
Super Bowl banners,
division banners, AFC Championship banners, all of these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, how is that for symbolism that, like, you just blew your knee out, giving it everything you had to get, like the Chiefs team is not as good this year as it's not as good as it's been in the last 10.
No, they've sucked.
And so, but here you are giving everything you got, and you're walking by all of those accolades. And meanwhile, you know, most of the NFL is like, I don't want to say they're celebrating somebody's injury.
No, but it allows them to step up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's
there's room on the stage now.
That's
right?
Yeah.
And so
that's good competitive nature. Let's be honest.
Great competitive nature and everything. It's just kind of a wild way to look at it. But Mahomes is really good about using that negativity as fuel.
Yeah.
He's really good about, you know, this is undefeated so far. Anytime one of those teams has some big viral moment before playing the Chiefs,
Of making fun of them.
They had like the Kermit doll. Like, I can't remember who it was.
It was the Raiders.
One of them had like a Kermit doll, and then they got fucking stomped.
Yeah.
Right?
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, and Jordan has said the same thing. If you haven't watched that Jordan documentary.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It is awesome.
But he talks about the same thing.
Yeah.
Fuck the haters.
Yeah.
Like, I use it as fuel.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did that his whole career. Like, people would come out and say, oh, I can do this. And he would be like, no, I'm going to defend the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
The whole game. I'm making this personal. Yeah. This game is personal.
Another one to watch. This is cool because you get to see somebody learn it. Tiger Woods and his son. What's his son's name?
I don't know. I know which one you're talking about. I haven't watched it.
Gosh dang it. My mind
is
blank.
I am a huge Tiger Woods fan.
Yeah.
I am. I wish... when he came back, he would have been even better and got right back to the top.
Yeah.
But I think his mental game I think it took too big of a hit.
Well, I think his leg's fucked up too.
I agree. I have a really hard time getting into documentaries about rich, successful parents and their kids. This is going to sound so weird because they come from a place that isn't normal parenting.
Well, so that's
like, it's more challenging in a lot of aspects, mm-hmm. but in a lot of aspects, that kid's going to get things that the top 75% of Americans can't give their kids. So yeah. I feel it's skewed, so I usually don't watch them, but if you're telling me it's good, I'll watch it.
No, this isn't a documentary. This is just constant updates and interactions from social media videos and stuff like that.
Okay.
They'll do a lot of father-son tournaments. And...
are you and Mason going to do some father-son tournaments?
I doubt it, because he's going to be better than me, a lot better than
That's
me.
That's why you should go with him.
Well, I'm saying I would hold him back.
Son-father tournaments.
But they'll do some father-son tournaments, and the shit-talking that his son does is...
To his dad or other kids?
Everybody. is of class. It's not poor taste.
Is it like that time that... Tiger Woods gave Jordan Spieth, I think it was Jordan Spieth, a tampon because he outdrove him and he's like 45 years old.
Yep. it's shit like that.
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, it's shit like that. And there's a little clip where somebody's asking Tiger if his son's outdrove him yet.
It's coming.
And he says it's coming. It's real close.
How old's his son?
14,
just guessing.
I think.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I don't think he's quite 16 yet. But it's just really interesting to watch Tiger with his aggressive, call it the Kobe, like Mamba mentality, right? And
dude, I love Kobe,
too. And you know the people that have it. Mahomes has it.
All of the greats
Brady
have it.
Had it.
They all have it.
Kobe had it. I don't know if LeBron's got it or not. LeBron came up in a different age of the NBA where...
No, I think he's... I don't think of him as that way. Have you seen the thing about Larry Bird since we're talking NBA?
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't know. He's a gangster.
Yeah.
He was talking hella shit.
Yeah.
He's like, he would come
Jordan talked hella shit.
I knew he did. I knew Jordan did, but
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Magic.
There was those upper echelon.
Barkley, Shaq. Yeah. Oh, that rivalry. Oh, man.
Those upper echelon players. They have a classy way to shit talk to each other where it's out of respect, but it's still,
well, just
I'm going to win.
Just because you respect someone doesn't mean that you don't show them the same kind of, like, I want to say assholeness, but that's not the right word. Like, you've got to show them that you're top dog. That doesn't mean you disrespect them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I am going to tell you and talk so much fucking shit. I might be down 30 points. I don't care.
Yep.
I'm going to keep talking fucking shit that's my mentality and who I am.
That interview, they were interviewing Mahomes and, my mind keeps going blank today. QB for the Bills.
Neither one of us is sleeping anymore.
they were interviewing Mahomes and Josh Allen. They're sitting in chairs next to each other. And they ask Josh Allen what his biggest fear is, and Mahomes interrupts and says, a coin toss.
is brutal.
And that's like goated level, like bullshitting with him, because Josh Allen is the one who got he lost in overtime to the Chiefs, and then they petitioned in the offseason to get the overtime rules changed. Well, the very next season, he went into overtime with the Chiefs, and lost because of the new overtime rule.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he said that.
But
that's
like
great.
Goated level shit talking that comes from respect. And you get to see that with Tiger Woods and his son.
I'll watch it. But, so, you know, back to the point, though, like that type of determination, grit, competitive nature, like those are the things that will get you through your family telling you that you're stealing employees.
Yeah.
It will get you through your dad saying, dude, I don't know if you should start this business. Well, it'll get you through your entire family being liberal and saying you're an idiot and you just don't give a fuck.
Right.
Because your competitive nature and your mind's eye of how you view yourself and the confidence that you carry and the I'm going to be right no matter what will carry you through. And it doesn't even matter if you're not right. If you have that kind of confidence, you're going to be right 98% of the time, 95, worst 85.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to have some losses along the way. Does it really matter?
Right.
No, it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, and so like you mentioned my dad.
I love your dad.
We've talked about these types of people in the past. You have true haters in your business, people that are hoping you fail, but then you have loving haters.
Yeah.
And those are the ones.
They're looking out for you, right?
Their hatred, it's not hatred, but their discouragement comes from a place of love.
Yes.
And so it'll be like they love you so much to see you fail, so they don't want to see you risk it. They love you so much, how what you've done so far, that they don't want to see you fail trying something new. So it comes from a good place.
Well, they want the best for you, you know? Like, they really do.
And so, it's easy to recognize a true hater or a true discourager and say, okay, I'm drowning out that noise. I've got several of those, and I drown them out, right?
Yeah.
The harder ones to recognize are the loving haters that come from a place of love, but they're still preventing you from being the best you can be. And those are tough.
Yeah.
And so that's where you solve those by saying, don't take advice from somebody that hasn't been where you want to go. And so like in my case, my dad's never owned a home service business. He's been a business owner many times over.
Yeah. He's a successful guy.
And he's successful.
Yeah.
He wanted me to be successful, and I had left a very successful 20-year career in plumbing to start my business.
Well, you didn't leave plumbing, but you left working for somebody.
I left working for somebody else. And so he was like, man, you're doing so good with all these other people and you found your jam and all of this. I just hate to see you start this and lose the fire, lose the drive and the spark and the energy. And he was, you know, worried about the risk. And I've got, you know, two kids and a wife and a mortgage and all of these things. And
it was a risk.
Oh, yeah.
Calculated.
Total calculated risk, but it's still risk, right? And that's kind of where this show started, was like, when we were talking about the thefts and deterring from buying certain vehicles because they get stolen, is like, I literally have made it my career about recognizing risk and saying, no, I'm not going to let the statistics scare me from something. I'm going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And maybe statistics was the wrong word, because, you know, if the statistics are that 10% of the people that climb Mount Everest die, I might not climb Mount Everest, right? Maybe. I don't know. But if the statistics, like, I guess what I'm saying is, I'm willing to have a business failure in my history. Because just because I started a business and it failed, I didn't fail.
Those that are afraid to take risks from fear of failure will never do anything.
Yeah.
If you do anything that's worth doing, there is a risk that you're going to fail at it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's taking a motorcycle 120 miles an hour. It doesn't matter if it's spending $50,000 to start a business. Anything worth doing, anything worth getting your blood flowing, anything worth, you know, changing your family tree, all of that stuff carries risk. Us doing this podcast carries risk. Dude, we could piss somebody off someday and there could be somebody in your driveway waiting for us. We could do this podcast and give out free information and someone could still try to fucking sue us someday.
Yeah.
You know, like anything worth having, worth doing carries risk.
Yep.
If you want to live in a fucking bubble and live in a 10 by 10 fucking apartment and be a loser all your life and because you're afraid to take risk, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to be fucking happy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Danielle and I just invested $50,000 into a new business venture that's unlike anything we've ever done before. We have zero experience in it. You know what it is.
I know what it is. This is the look of, you didn't ask me to invest with you?
Oh, no. The opportunity's still there. Yeah.
This is the ground over on this.
Yeah.
You know what? We're not going to get into that today.
But
we'll.
But there is a big risk with that.
The risk is you lose 50 grand.
Yeah, the risk is I lose $50,000. The upside is I get a $250,000 to $1 million out of the deal. And so...
Yeah, and maybe make your money back. You know what I mean?
Right. Like that would be like I could break even on this thing.
Say you break even monetarily. You've still got time, effort, energy, stress from writing that check. Like that's still a quote-unquote loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you're, like I just said, if you're not willing to take the risk, you're not willing to gain the reward, and it's just...
First house I ever bought. I paid $97,000 for my first house I ever bought. It was a 1,200 square foot patio home, no basement, 1,200 square feet, included the garage. I painted the garage walls. I ducted heating and cooling into the garage, and I epoxied the floor, and I called it a finished space because it was conditioned. And
okay. First off, I'll just a little insight into Mitch and I's. Growing up, when you bought that house, I was like, this motherfucker is insane.
Yeah.
Not because you bought the house, but because you bought such a small house. I was like, what the fuck is he going to do with this thing?
It's all I could afford.
And it was one of the greatest investments you've probably ever made in your life.
No, actually, it was one of the worst.
Did you lose money?
So I bought it for $97,000. I owned it for 10 years to the day.
Okay.
I bought it on October 1st and sold it on October 1st. Over that 10 years, I completely replaced all the flooring in the house, painted all the walls and everything else, put a roof on the house, and built the giant barn on the side and extended the driveway and all that stuff.
Oh, I forgot about the barn you added.
I bought it at the peak of the housing bubble, and I sold it at the low of the housing bubble. And so I literally sold it for the exact same dollar amount I bought it for, $97,000 even. And so by the time you factor mortgage interest and
improvements
and then 6% of the sale going to real estate agents, I lost. But what did I learn? I learned that literally buying it at the worst time possible and selling it at the worst time possible, I still didn't lose dollars, but I did lose. Right.
Well, if you had actually added up what it cost you to maintain the house, upgrade the house, interest, insurance, all of that, and then you made the same amount and you divided that over 10 years and then by months, like what was your rent? Like wouldn't have been, you know what I mean? It's not like it's easy to say that you lost.
Yeah.
But did you really?
You remember what
you
our
broke
lease,
even?
You remember what our lease payment was at our duplex?
Our rent $1,200.
$1,200.
Yep.
You know what my mortgage was on that house?
$850.
$777.
Yeah, it was low.
Yep.
So let's be honest. Like, you lived there for 10 years. You didn't lose money. But you didn't make money.
Right. Right.
You know.
So
you know what? Unlike
this house, because I moved from that house to this one. Well, I sold that one at the housing low. I built this one
a great conversation.
At the housing low.
Yeah.
I built this house for $273.
Yeah.
It's worth probably $6 right now.
And if you hadn't sold the house and taken a quote-unquote loss, you wouldn't have had the gain now.
Right.
So it's hard to, you know, everyone wants to put a direct eyeball on one situation or one thing that's happened in their life and say, oh, I fucked up here. Mm-hmm. And then they refuse to expand their eyesight over a situation and go, but that actually allowed me to do X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Because I'm the same way in my house. When we sold our house in Blue Springs, I sold it for two this has been 8 years ago, 275. 3 years later, it was worth 400 because of everything that was going on. And I still kick myself. I should have kept it. I didn't owe shit on it. I owed like 100 on it. I could have rented it out. I could have been making this money. I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have done this. But I couldn't have the property I have now because I didn't have the cash flow for it.
Right.
So if I would have been able to make extra money and stress myself out to have both of them until I had rented that one for 2 years or 3 years or whatever, would it have been worth it? It's an impossibility to know that.
Right.
Right? I think people get very laser focused on this was a failure, this was a success, and whatever else, and they don't really step back and look and be like, overall, I think I did pretty fucking good.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like business. We talk about this all the time. The guys are up, the guys are down, the guys are up. Growing your business isn't linear.
Yeah.
It's an up and down goddamn roller coaster.
Yeah. You just hope the peaks continue to get taller and the valleys continue to get shallower.
It's the same thing as the stock market.
Yeah.
You know, you just sometimes there are certain times in business ownership, life, everything else, that you just got to keep your fucking nose to the grindstone and keep at it. Because you may be really down in a valley, but next you pick your head up the next time and you're fucking way up. You're like, holy shit. When I think about this, I think of Tristan.
Yeah.
Tristan is one of our members. He's shut his shit down twice.
He's completely changed over his cruise twice.
He posted a picture on Facebook the other day, and it was like
all of his vans and his
shop. All of his vans and his shop, and then his little go around, and then he was in their personal vehicle, which is fucking awesome, right? And I'm just thinking,
he created this from nothing.
This motherfucker has been through more ups and downs, and not like you couldn't kill that guy, you couldn't kill his spirit, for anything.
Yeah,
he just keeps fucking at it, and he's like, let's be honest. He's an inspiration to our other guys. He's just like, nope, I'm going to keep going, motherfucker.
The only way his spirit gets killed is if somebody treats him poorly. Because he cares so much about how he treats everybody else.
He does care about how he treats everyone else.
And so you destroy somebody who has a high level of care for how they treat other people.
Yeah.
If you treat them poorly, you'll destroy them.
Yeah.
And so you got to recognize stuff like that.
But even that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even that, he's just like, nope, get the fuck out of my way, dude.
Yep.
I got this.
I'm doing it.
God, we don't talk about Tradewinds like in depth a lot on the show. Like we bring it up and we talk about what's going on.
We got some rock stars.
The amount of success that we have seen in this quarter, and I don't mean me and you. I mean we as in those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys in their businesses. This quarter has been nothing but phenomenal. I mean, there's guys that
are flat. It's really cool to look at how many vehicles have been added to the fleet of Tradewinds members across the board.
I wish there was a way, and I know the guys would tell me, but I don't want to ask, but I wish there was a way I could track like all of their revenue over from January to now, you know, total of people that have been in the group that for 1 year of what it was and what it is now.
I'll post in the group and make it happen.
I think it would.
I'll tag everybody and just say, if you've been in the group since January 1.
I think it would be, we'd be astonished about how much fucking money those guys are
making.
Didn't
even need to be in the group since January 1. Just everybody post your year-end revenue numbers.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to collect it all up and brag about it and say, okay, yeah, here
we go. I don't know if you've noticed. Have you noticed I've been asking everybody the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Because I just want to know. And think about, I know I just brought up Tristan, but we had his call days on top of my mind. Think about where he was when he first joined.
Yeah.
Dude, he didn't talk to us for 3 months on his calls because he was just shy, young guy.
A little mousy.
Like just, you know, and now he spoke at one of our events.
Yep.
He started over twice.
He's been on Jared Williams' podcast.
He was on Jared Williams' podcast. I mean, the kid.
I haven't even been on Jared Williams' podcast yet, and I go on a lot of podcasts. Wouldn't invite me.
I'm not going to say anything about Jared Williams.
Kind of a conflict there.
Jared Williams is a thief in my mind.
You say, I'm not going to say anything about Jared Williams.
Not in my, not monetarily. But you know what, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But like, the guys that have been in the group.
Let's highlight that just a little bit. So, like, there is another group similar to Tradewinds called The Wealthy Plumber that's run by Jared Williams. But the groups are a totally different style and flair, and you want to go to the group that's going to allow you to perform your best. And David and I are very involved. Our group is smaller than Jared's. David and I are very involved with each and every member of our group. You see our faces every week.
Yeah, if you want to see us every week, you can.
And there's some very specific differences between the groups. For one, we don't have a $100 a month option. And so it basically means that whoever's in Tradewinds is going to be, you know, our lowest option is $249 a month.
It's self-vetting.
And so you have to be 2.5 times more serious about your success than that, right? But then also, and I know you're going to giggle, but we don't allow anonymous posts in our group. And
that wasn't a giggle. That was a laugh.
Fuck
your anonymous bullshit.
Well, it's very intentional. It's like we're all here to grow and do better. And if we're uncomfortable attaching our name to a question amongst trades business owners, we got to curb that before we can even make any progress anywhere else, right? So we don't even give people the option to post anonymously in the group.
No, we don't.
And I'm in Jared's Wealthy Plumber group. He's got a free version.
Yeah.
And the amount of anonymous posts that go on in there is just insane.
It's because they're crushing each other. And they don't want to be held responsible or have accountability
to their
actions.
Yeah, it's almost as if everybody in that group is like in competition with each other, whereas everybody in our group is like trading work with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we have like 5 different members from Omaha.
Yeah.
We're all insane. In the same market.
Which I still don't even understand how that happened. But
right.
Yeah.
So like, and again, we're not bagging. There's just very clear differences where you're going to realize like, hey, if I want to join a coaching or mentorship group, you know, do I want one that's kind of a free for all and a little less structured, or do I want one that's very structured and the culture is insanely high and these guys call each other on their own time and they have their own little friend groups within the group and their own little group chats within the group and all of that
and
stuff.
I wasn't talking about, when I said he's a thief, I wasn't talking about the Wealthy Plumber at all. I was talking about he has stolen content from your page and then posted it as his own.
Yep.
A year ago, you've brought this talk up a lot about Valvoline having $500 an hour oil changes.
It's one of our viral videos.
And in his podcast, like 2 weeks ago, they go over it, make a short, and then put it out there. It's like, how much content can you steal before it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what, I mean, and maybe it's coincidence. I mean, other than your actual content being on his stuff, but it's like, dude, come on. Like, have some, we just had the accountability talk. Like, have some accountability.
Yeah.
This is like, be your own person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't.
Well,
roll off the tit of someone else.
When I had a videographer, one of our standing rules was we do not use other people's content. If we have all the tools to create whatever content we want, if we need a shot, we shoot it ourselves.
I'll make a short about this and send it to his ass. I mean, I think he's probably a good guy. I just, like, nothing.
I mean, he's come to our events and stuff like that. He's a good guy. He just runs a different style of program. And you got to go with where you're going to see the most success, right? And some people want a more direct approach, and some people want an anonymous approach where everyone around you is in competition with you. So, but I'll say this. I love our culture.
I love when people go to the Wealthy Plumber and then come back.
Yeah. Yeah, or they don't even leave. They just go stick a toe in the water and come back.
Yeah.
So, but... We have a group to where it's like, as we're traveling around, Tradewinds members will meet up with each other.
Oh, yeah. They're crazy, though.
Yeah.
I can't hang out with those guys.
Well,
they're young, man. They've got energy.
They got 3 a.m. flights, I'll say that. So
those guys are wild. They're not all wild. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
They work hard and they party hard. How about that?
Yeah, work hard, play harder.
Man, I really wish that it was feasible for us to have more meetups.
Yeah.
I really...
It's just such a... Which, by the way, since you're bringing that up, we're going to be at the Wet Show.
Oh, Wet Show. God, yep. I'm going to bitch. I said I wasn't going to bitch at the beginning, but I'm going to bitch right now. I'm over the motherfucking Wet Show now. Like, we haven't even gone.
Yeah.
There is so much logistical bullshit they make you go through
to
have a booth there. because we're having our deal and then that, right?
Yep.
And it's just like, I'm 2 months out and I'm already exhausted. Like, so, goddamn, guys, how much information do you need?
So we've got a deal with a wet show to where Tradewinds members get free tickets to the wet show. And we're having a small half-day meetup the day before the wet show starts, in the afternoon before the wet show starts. And so become a Tradewinds member, come to the meetup, and get free tickets to the wet show.
Yeah, the way it works is, the way they do it is they have the expo, which is the, you know, vendors, you know, talk to everybody, meet everybody, go to see House Call Pro, go to see Field Pulse, come see us, go to Milwaukee, go to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is the 17th through the 19th. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they have their conference center, which you couldn't get me to fucking go to that, but it's 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. That's where they have, you can get CEU credits.
Yep.
You can see certain speakers, you can do whatever. Well, those are paid. Like, you have to have a different pass for that, or you have to have passes for individual speakers. Like, if I don't know who's speaking, but say Mike Rowe was going to speak,
mm-hmm.
like, you could get an individual one to go see him,
yep.
or whatever. But that is 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. Our thing is going to be just the 16th in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So, and then the expo will be 17, 18, 19.
Yeah. And it'll be fairly informal. It'll be in a conference room at one of the hotels or whatever. And obviously we'll have more info to put out about that. We've wanted to talk about this for a while, but with the holidays coming up and everything else, a lot of our listeners were focused on other things. But now that Christmas is pretty much here,
yeah,
you're going to start seeing us talk about the wet show quite a bit. It's the first week in first early February. So, you know, we'll be pushing that pretty hard and heavy. So
yeah, we probably will. I will say it's gonna be a lot of fun. Every time we have one, the less informal it is, the more fun it is, I think.
Yeah.
Like when we had the meetup at the lake, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun with it. Heck, we may even record a podcast there. You never know. I just surprised Dave with that bomb.
Look, motherfucker, if you're adding more shit to my list, the podcast part is on you.
Yeah.
You will be responsible. I'll edit it, but you will be responsible for this part. How about that?
I got it.
If you want to do that part, we are driving.
Yeah,
so
I know.
It's not like it's going to be that bad.
And we're taking my truck. We can put boatloads of shit in it.
You know it's going to be me, you, and Joe, right?
That's fine.
Joe go.
That's good.
Just in case.
Yeah.
We need him for technical expertise.
Yeah.
I know we haven't talked about this on the podcast either. And I know it seems like we're rambling because it's our podcast. We'll ramble if we want. I think I have convinced myself that we are going to do, we've been saying we would do this for the Tradewinds guys for a while. I think we are going to do a retreat.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a quote unquote.
It's not an event.
Event. We will probably speak or have one speaker there, but we're going to do, it'll either be, whatever you want to say. It's either going to be a hog hunt or it's going to be a beach vacation.
Yeah.
I haven't decided yet.
But I'm
convinced one of them is going to happen.
An American beach vacation, not a Cancun or Mexico beach vacation.
Yeah, I just don't want to go to Mexico.
Yeah.
I love Mexico. I don't want to feel the stress of
that's a big group
20
to try to take
drunk a motherfuckers on a Cancun beach.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Make sure to wear your Wealthy Plumber shirts to that one, fellas.
I don't know if I could handle it. So, but yeah, I think that's going to be destination to be determined.
Yeah.
If I get a wild hair, I tell you what, I win this fucking $1.25 billion Powerball. Everyone will get a free ticket with their spouse
to a beach vacation,
and a hog hunt.
All right.
We'll do them, but you know, and not a hog hunt, elk hunt.
Okay.
And a hog. You know what? I'll book one every month and whoever wants to go can go.
Okay.
Be the best year of our lives.
I love it. I'm game.
I guess I got to go buy a ticket.
You should probably do that.
I should probably
buy
a ticket. Man, I haven't bought a ticket in a long time.
As always, our email and contact info is in the description of this show. So if you guys have any questions or anything that you'd like us to answer, please shoot us an email. We're also very out there on social media.
You okay? Yeah. You gonna die? Do we need to pause
case
again?
Of the yawns, I don't know. We're also out there on social media, so you can find us there. Probably Facebook is the most often common platform that we have. But if you guys have any questions, we love to answer them. And until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.